Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Tom. It's Starshine.
Hi, Starshine. How's it going in Texas?
It's going okay.
Okay, right on. Good.
Yeah. Hi, it's Mary.
Okay, hi, Mary. Okay. Well, I'm inclined to get started just because I don't like to wait.
Sure.
So what we're going to do is we're going to use the same PDF from last week, but we're not going to do what we did last week. We're going to start with those four that we've already looked at, and we're going to talk about themes in the chart. You know, to get really comfortable at going through that four-step process, now you understand kind of how the thought process works, and so I'm going to leave it to you to get, you know, to get used to it with practice. And I may offer other classes that are coming up that are just about this kind of practice on kind of streamlining that process in the chart. But what I want to do is talk about these four charts we've already looked at and look at the themes. Because Mary, you asked me this over email after last week's class. Yeah. I frankly didn't expect last week that process to take as long as it did. And so I had anticipated kind of getting to this place last week. Because hold on 1 second.
Hi, it's Mario.
Hi, Mario.
Okay, hi there. Hi there. So, so we're going to look at the themes in the four charts that we looked at last week. Because what actually happens is that, people come in and say, this is my issue. This is what's going on with me. And, to do that four-step process and to understand, you know, the arc of that karmic story is the background. But when it comes down to what the person asks you, you're not going to say, well, I mean, because Venus squares, you're going to actually talk about the life situation, you know, that is related to those symbols. So tonight I want to pick apart as many of these charts as we get to out of these first four in this list and see what, and talk about the themes and the problems. Essentially, I'm going to say to you, this person comes in to you and says, I'm going to give you a variety of questions for each chart. I have this power struggle with my mom. She never listens to me. Something like that, right? Or no matter what I've done, I seem to be unable to locate the right career for me. And I want to kind of go through how you might approach that kind of question given the chart we're looking at. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah,
Tom, just to confirm, is it the chart beginning with the woman in New Delhi?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So each of the four of you who are on the call went through and made the story, and that was good. And now we're just going to revisit the same chart. So they're somewhat familiar. You know, not that you would have memorized them during the week, but you know, we've talked about them a little bit already. Yeah.
Okay.
So with this first one, the woman in 1981, birth in New Delhi. So I'm just going to, and it's okay to talk through this, and it's okay if it's clunky at first. It's really okay. Please don't feel self-conscious or like you're doing it wrong. I just want to kind of teach you how to get to these themes in here. So she comes in and she says to you, no matter what I seem to do, I can't find the right career. Now, meaning like I've had three careers and it's just not right. None of them is right for me. So, you know, normally we'll look to the 10th house and Saturn and Capricorn, and that's a good approach too. But also keep in mind this idea of the karmic stuff too. And that's kind of what I want to kind of draw out. So anybody, you know, just give me some ideas on where in this particular chart, you know, given the karmic setup here that we talked about last week, it's okay to just kind of eyeball it and kind of get familiar with it again. Where would you start? You know, she says I can't find the right job for myself. It's okay if it's clunky and slow because this is how it works. Just want to get your imagination going with this kind of stuff.
I might start with. I mean, one thing I'd sort of be drawn to is the Pluto in the second house about self-worth and self-esteem and
okay.
that it's been
great.
Issues.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Yep.
That's a good start. Perfect, perfect. And so, you know, given that, what kind of approach might you take? Like, what knowing what you know about Pluto stuff in the second, like, how would you kind of approach it? Not like, you know, I'm going to quote you or anything, but like, how would you step into that with her?
Can someone else just? I just have to run. I feel like I could smell something burning, so I've just run out of breath. So if anyone else wants to take over just for a second, sorry.
Okay.
I just jumped back in again without. I just got to catch my breath.
Okay.
Well, just in terms of Pluto, I can still say it. I just Pluto and Libra. So about that she's had experiences of the best and worst of Libra about and the survival issues that. I'm not quite that clear.
That's a good door into it, Mary, because, yeah, the survival issues. She may actually be afraid of survival. She might pick a job because she's afraid that she won't have money later. You know, she might be afraid of not having money, which would be a classic flip in the second kind of thing. So, yeah, exactly. So, right, so she's maybe disempowered sometimes about her skills. She may, you know, she may take a job that's like, 3 levels below where she should be, too. And that's another possibility. Yeah. Good. Anybody else with ideas on job or career stuff with this one?
I'm wondering if she's had she would be concerned, too, about skills and talents and resources.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if she has had or feels that she's had the education or the training that she really needs to get a career that would be satisfying.
Perfect. And just for everybody listening, it's just there's no right or wrong answer. It's just these different avenues given this chart. So yeah, good. That's great. Yeah, and we know that Pluto's retrograde, so she might actually, you know, have certain skills that don't really feel authentic. She might need to invent her own wheel with that second house skill set. So she might really, you know, she might have done what she thought she should do. You know, like, oh, everybody's learning Spanish, maybe I should learn Spanish, but in her heart was to learn Cantonese, you know, and now she's an adult and she's like, I learned the wrong language. You know, and that can be a part of that too, so the right skill set. So perfect. Anybody else here?
Well, this is Starshine. I'll take a stab at it. I'm looking at the, are we just going to stay on Pluto, or can we look at other aspects?
Anything.
Right now. Anything, okay.
Yeah,
so
anything.
I was thinking of looking at the node there and how she might be working out this issue of how to express herself in relationships in a unique way versus, like, how to work in groups as a, wouldn't necessarily be as a leader necessarily in Leo, but just as someone who can express themselves. So it's just that Aquarius, Leo, fifth house, 11th house, and then it looks like it's, the south node is conjunct Venus. So it's like it having to do with relationships and how to express themselves and how to do that in a group setting.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And the Leo part of that north node is also about that, you know, what are you passionate about? What makes you happy? So she might she might do stuff that seems to make sense, which would be a great Aquarius thing. Well, this is logical. And then find herself not fulfilled. So that's a great angle. So yeah, there are many possible angles here to take. Like, I'll throw out, you have one?
Well, I was going to expand upon that with the echo of her south node Venus in Aquarius and north node in the 11th, and then the sun in Aquarius in the 6th house. Like, I could see that she might excel in humanitarian organization, working with even social services, with the sun in the 6th, being, you know, and Mars and the Mercury in Pisces with Gemini in the midheaven. How, you know, being sort of a communication type point person for, like, a social service organization that would help people in some fashion.
Great, thank you. And I'll just throw one in there that sometimes moon square the nodes can be about I'm not quite sure how to make myself happy. Mm-hmm. So it's in the eighth house, which we don't look at to be about work, and it's in Taurus, which we might not think about work, you know, skills, values, pleasure, but also a moon square the nodes can just be like, I don't know how to make myself happy. So you may also find that that might be a route in there too. So good, great. And then what about this, you know, Saturn in the first that's retrograde? And this is actually, if we do the traditional rulers, it's the South Node ruler. So just kind of somebody jump in, kind of give me an idea on that retrograde Saturn in the first and kind of like what that might look like for somebody, you know, for this woman saying, I have job issues. And it can be just about anything, but I just want to get the flow going, the juices going. And then we'll do something else. Yeah.
I'm just about like self-structure, how she does structure for herself. She may have picked up other people's models of how to create structure for herself that she might need to rethink.
Great. Perfect. So, thank you. So now we've looked at a handful of things. This is how I want to go next. When you know, like with Jillian's comment with the Sun in Aquarius in the sixth and that Mercury Mars, it, you know, those things aren't involved in the karmic story. So what I want to point out is that all of these things are relevant for what the question was. All of these things are good answers. And if you're talking about the moon or the nose or the Saturn or the Pluto, those are all included in the karmic story, or the Venus, understand that there's an emotional imprint underneath it. So you got to approach it in a certain way, understanding this person has a lot of habits to do that in a certain way. So like if you talk about her son in a certain way, she might respond more easily. She might get it quicker because there isn't karmic stuff underneath it. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Is there something not involved in it? Yeah. So that's what I want to point out to you. All the different things, whether it's karmic or not, they're relevant, they're valid, you're all right, and you're each correct, but then also some of those things will have something under the surface, and you got to work a little more, you know, just to understand that person's wired to have certain reactions and triggers that might make it harder to get what you're saying and respond in a healthy way. That's what I'm getting at. So was that Starshine? Did you want to say something?
I think I just don't quite understand what
Okay, great. So I'm going to look at a chart, and like in this case, a career question. And any of these things that you guys have mentioned, these are all good avenues into a career question with this chart. Each of those things is good. What I want to point out to you is that when you're looking at these different things, you know, like Sun in the sixth, the emphasis in the sixth might not be good enough, the each of those details that we talked about. I know we just did a very kind of an overview of the symbol of each one, but I wanted to put a variety of short things out and then do this. So, but when you talk about the ones that are tied up in the karmic story, like the moon square, the nodes themselves, the Pluto thing, because that's part of the four-step process, and also the Saturn in the first, because that's the South Node ruler, those things will have a deeper emotional imprint, so it'll be harder for her to change them, and probably more challenging for you to get through to her because of the emotions behind it. She's habituated to certain patterns because of the karma. Does that make sense, Sashan?
I think it does. Would it take too long to provide an example?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, exactly. So, good. So if you say to her, you know, look, you know, you have these three bodies in the sixth house, and sometimes that can be somebody who's very fastidious and very concerned with details, and one thing that can occur with that is the person can feel she's not ready, even if she's very good at something. She might not think she's ready. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is basic sixth house, having these three bodies in the sixth house. I mean, she's probably very good at everything she does, but, you know, that's just her, it's a sixth house assumption, which is normal for anybody with that kind of thing. And that, she might be like, oh, yeah, I see that, blah, blah, blah. It'll be more straightforward to her. She'll be able to digest and process it, even if it's challenging. But if you say to her, Pluto's in your second house, and this is a deep thing about your self-esteem. So you basically have to decide that you're worth the career you want. That is going to be harder for her to address and change, because Pluto runs deeper than just the thing in the chart that's not karmic.
Okay.
Meaning
so you don't think that would give her confidence to do what she feels like she can't do?
Well, it might.
Accommodate that?
I mean, it might. It'll start, but she's got to, like, change a deeper pattern than the sixth house pattern. The Pluto pattern, for anybody, is going to be deeper than just something in the sixth house that might hold them back. Because the Pluto thing's wrapped up in the intense emotions that are very difficult.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
She had issues of survival. This is Maria. You know, in the past lives many times.
Yes.
And so she's really, that fear and belief that she has runs very deeply.
Yes.
As opposed to her son.
Yes. Yes, thank you. And the son is important, but the Pluto thing runs so deeply in every person that it's a harder thing to change than getting the son to do something differently.
So like, I'm sorry, this
is Jillian. I just want to say, because,
yeah.
Well, with, and also the son with your self-worth, with a trine to the Pluto,
yeah.
That would mean, that's an easy thing. That means there's a straight line from Pluto, you know, to their son. So there's support there. And so it's not, and I think with the son in the sixth house, I think that what I would advise her to do, and especially with someone in the second house, is to find someone to mentor her, and that would give her a lot of self-confidence if she lacked it and self-esteem, and to learn the skill sets that she needs to get somewhere in her career, like a one-on-one mentor.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that trine can actually be, you know, if you feel sorry for yourself because you don't know how to do something, which may go with the Pluto in the second, that trine can have your son supporting that. So you're right, it's not necessarily good right off the bat. It can be, you know, for me, you know, in a loop. You know, in a loop. Yeah. Yeah, so good. Good, good, thank you. Yeah, I want to play like this so you can see different approaches with this. So I'm kind of inclined to do a separate question on this same chart now that we're talking about it. What people ask about mostly is money, job, and relationships, and family. So let's pick a relationship. Let's do that. Let's pick a relationship. So she says to you, I find it really hard to get close to people. Can you help me understand why and what I can do to change that? Yeah. So, and again, different things in the chart. I mean, we normally will go to 7th house, Venus, and Libra for all relationship things, and that's good. That's valid. It's very valid. And yet also, understanding deeper emotional patterns can come into the mix, too. And I'll talk you through it, like, after we get, you know what I mean, I'll talk you through it again. There are no wrong answers, because... But anyway, I'm just kind of curious, like, how would you look at relationships in this chart?
The thing that sort of jumps straight out, obviously, is like the South Node Square, the moon, about how the family climate she's come from hasn't been... Oh, no, wait a minute. Yeah, oh, no, sorry, just jumping over there. That they've received friction, or they're sort of unclear about how to do... moon stuff, how to sort of take care, you know, how to trust or how to sort of be nurtured within, how to be nurtured within and trust in deep relationships.
Exactly. To trust and nurture, exactly. So it's an unresolved issue. So she knows some things about it, but she might not know the other things. And one of the things that can happen with this kind of thing, a moon square, the node, and the eighth, is that you have opened up to someone, but you may have picked somebody who ended up not being really trustworthy. You know, that's one possibility. You may, the people you pick to open up to trust and to bring into your heart, your moon space, you might need to learn how to pick those people better. That's one thing. And another thing is, you may not recover from when somebody you trust does something that seems like it's a breach of trust. So, like, in normal relationships, you know, we hurt each other. It happens. And how do we recover? How do we come out of that? And in this case, she might have, like, her sensitivity so deep that she might not be able to forgive when somebody, you know, does something that hurts her. So that's, like, one idea, taking that a little further. That's good. That's good. And so Venus is on the south node. So let's talk through, you know, how that plays into relationships. So, you know that Venus is in Aquarius. What does that talk about with her? Kind of, what does she need? What kind of relationships does she need to be in, given that Venus is in Aquarius?
Three relationships.
Okay.
Ones that don't bind her, ones that offer her, you know, where she can be unique and offer unique perspectives, and where she can gain unique perspectives.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And so then, and now we have that karmic layer of it's on the south node. So it's like she's been doing a lot of different Aquarius Venus things over time, but we should assume that some of them stink. Some of them are very unhappy, because when a planet's on the south node, we have to sort through a bunch of attitudes and assumptions that we learn from our family and that we carry over time. So, yeah, so okay. You're right.
But to not do that to a cult where she liberates herself and is so free, she's course can't gain intimacy because she can't settle down enough and ground enough and trust, especially with the moon in Chiron, squaring that, you know, to be able to have the strength in herself to dive into intensity and learn to trust, basically. She just needs to learn to trust her feelings.
Exactly. And also, just for everybody's reference, this kind of setup, you know, when you talk about, this is a setup where you say, how do you feel? And somebody says, this is what I think. The Aquarius south node can be up in the head. You know, a gift can be very clever and forward-thinking, but it can also be kind of a downfall, too. And so part of her relationship thing functions on that south node. So, you know, what about Pluto and Libra? You know, she has Pluto and Libra, and that's about relationships, too. So just kind of give me some ideas about what that might be like for her. But what is she dealing with over the course of a bunch of lives, given that the deep wounding is in Libra?
Things don't seem fair and balanced to her. This is Maria.
Thank you, yeah.
She's been struggling with that, and she feels like things are unfair, and she feels trapped by that.
Great. Perfect. Yeah, thank you. Exactly. So, you know, Venus on the south node, so she's got a lot of relationship experiences, but she's got to sort through it. And then Pluto and Libra, things, you know, fairness. Things may not have been happening in an equitable way where she feels, you know, represented and treated with respect as an equal. So, yeah, so good. Good. And she also has this the Saturn and Jupiter in Libra in the first. And whenever, I'll just tell you this, the first house represents a need to have independence and make self-interested decisions. And yet in Libra, they're going to be, you know, these planets may be oriented towards others and the response from others. And these two things are retrograde. So she, you know, so there might be some weird, hairy things about, you know, can she be herself or should she listen to others? So with those three things in Libra that are retrograde, there's another possibility in there too. Yeah.
Could that? This is Jillian. Can that the Saturn and Jupiter retrograde in the first in Libra? Can that manifest as someone who like puts up large walls, like the Great Wall? You know,
yeah.
You know, so that another layer of like maybe not letting people in and learning how to trust.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And you know, not to get too complex, but there can be a thing where that happens, so she's not saying what she is and who she is, and then other people come in, because if you're not doing Saturn in a good way, you create that vacuum, So she might actually, you know, look like she has Saturn in the seventh. Like other people are, you know, other people are Saturn. She might not do it. Now she might do it. We could also be wrong about all these things. I mean, this is the other thing. These are just possible, you know, possible doorways in. She could have actually figured out these things too, for the record. You know, not like we're all geniuses and we're all, you know, but what, like, yeah, these approaches are perfect. You know, like figuring. Maybe she has a, you know, the possibility. Maybe she has the Great Wall of China around her heart. You know, maybe she, yeah, exactly. Good. So good. Does all of this make sense? I know that it might be a little clunky at times, and this is a new thing we're doing, and that's fine. But does it make sense? Do you see what we're doing, and does it fit well? Does it fit okay?
Yeah. Some of the thing I'm sort of curious about then is. Say it was about the careers, you know, she can't choose the career or the relationship thing. Is it the talking through it that clears it, helps her to clear it up, or do you, do you sort of talk about a specific, like, is there a cure? Not a cure, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or is it just the talking through the issues that would tend to help her?
Well, that is definitely step one. It's some people that will validate what they already feel, and that's very helpful. Other people, they're not aware of it, or they haven't put words to the feeling, so they might not be conscious of it already. But essentially, like, let's just do the Pluto in the second thing. You know, like, let's just pick that one about career, the self-worth idea.
Yes.
You know, knowing that there's a history of survival issues, she may not believe in herself, et cetera, all those things. I will talk her through something. I will talk her into it, and I'll basically do what I can to get her to see that the belief that she carries that might keep her self-worth small is, in fact, not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I end up talking about karma is a belief about why things happen. And I might say to her, look, I mean, that's a great question. It's like the next step beyond what we were doing. It's a great question. Because I may say to her, look, it looks like at some point in your life, like you failed. You didn't do your homework, you didn't learn the right skill, or you thought you learned it, but you showed up for the test and you ended up getting an F. Like, because that Pluto in a second can feel like failure about the self. You know, I didn't do that right, I can't learn anything, whatever it is. So I will say to her, look, think about some time that you failed. You know, and I'll ask them to tell me about it. And it could be like a thing, you know, in school. I just get this image of a school where you studied the wrong chapter for the test. You know, like, you know, and I'll get her to understand that this is a part of learning about tools and skills, and I'll ask her to have a little faith that, you know, to reframe what failure is. And I'll ask her if she's willing to get better at things over time and give herself a chance to improve at things, which is, of course, the empowering thing with Pluto in the second. You know, and I'll tell her, ultimately, if you can decide that you're going to survive no matter what, that you can gather and develop any skill that you want, when you decide that, you'll be able to do it. And so, yeah, I turn into a little motivational speaker, but, yeah, I walk her through it. I walk her through it like that.
Yep.
And ask her to try and emphasize that she might be wrong. Like, you know, let's say there were 20 things that felt like failures. Well, you know what? We all do things like that. That's true. But she'll take it much more personally and be hard on herself because Pluto's in the second.
Nice.
This is
Jillian. Can I ask a question about this? Okay. Looking at the Pluto in the second and the, you know, maybe blows to self-esteem and all this, but don't we also have to look at on the self-empowerment journey that this person can take it the other way?
Exactly.
I mean, maybe this person is, maybe this person with Pluto in the second house, like how likely is it that they, maybe they're, have like an overblown self-esteem and are domineering in relationships?
Yes.
To the point where they can't, they are, and then maybe with the Saturn and Jupiter in the first, they're so controlling, they don't soften, and they can't have a relationship because of that.
Perfect.
Like that. Okay.
Yeah, perfect, exactly.
I mean, I don't with the sun, with all this stuff in the sixth house, I don't get that, yeah. You know, but maybe that can manifest sometimes as that. Like,
well, you know, sometimes things in Pisces get way egotistical. It's definitely possible for something in Pisces to get a little megalomaniacal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's happened. I mean, it's in the sixth, but it's Mars, too, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, and so the other idea, just like, you know, whether it's like a real low self-esteem or an overblown sense of self-esteem, the retrogrades indicate that her assumptions need to be rethought. So that's a great approach when you see a retrograde like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the person could look very confident, but you might sense a lack of confidence or overconfidence, and you can talk about what you think you should do with this self-confidence and skills, and in this case, Libra, listening to others about your self-worth, you know, taking reflection from others, rethink it. Yeah, exactly. So both extremes are possible. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I want to build in the assumption that we could be completely wrong any tack we take, but we're exploring the theme, and that is what tells us what's happening. So, yeah. So, good. Good. Yeah. So, that's good. That's good. I'd like to move on to the next chart with a different question, or maybe even the same two questions, you know? So let's go on to that second chart, which is a man born in 1944. Oh, yeah, Sun, Mars, and Mercury in the sixth in both charts. What's going on? yeah, Moon in the eighth. What's going on? These are quote-unquote random. Okay. Actually, let's pick a different question for him. Let me just look at this for a second and think of something. Okay, so this guy comes into you and says, you look at me, you think I'm old. I was born in 1944. My mother is 30 years older than me, and she won't die, and she's controlling my inheritance. She's controlling my money. It's driving me crazy, and I don't know how much longer I can deal with it. Yeah, so take a moment. No pressure, but take a moment.
Well, this is Jillian. I can see why maybe you chose that question because of the South Node conjunct the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moon meaning the mother.
Yep.
Okay, and Capricorn meaning controlling
mm-hmm.
to a certain degree, and Eighth House being the house of inheritance.
Okay, right, so exactly right. That's straightforward thing, right.
Yeah, and then opposing Saturn.
Uh huh.
And Cancer, the
mm-hmm.
second house of money, you know, so it's always
right.
an echo. Anyway, that's not offering any insight.
No, that's just
fine.
Well, knowing that the moon is on the south node, you know, in the eighth, and you'd see that issue being in the eighth house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you help him understand how to change it?
Good question.
Part two. Yeah. I mean, I also chose it because Uranus is not that far from the ascendant. Meaning that he needs independence, and he might not know how to do that. That's also why I chose it. Like, but yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, it's okay. You don't feel pressured.
Oh no, yeah, anyone else?
Yeah.
Join in.
Well, Jillian and I are together looking at her, so she might feel pressured.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway.
So, I just like when Jillian just said about the, so he himself is Saturn, isn't he? Maybe he hasn't done much of that. He's the opposite. He's that, and so about developing his own resources rather than
right.
sort of concentrating on the shared resources. Or
uh-huh. Great.
Yeah.
Great. So what would you tell him might be a good thing to do for himself to kind of step out of it?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he already is a Saturn or whether he's got to develop a Saturn, I'm not sure, but obviously just something about developing his own self-worth and values around
uh-huh.
Cancerian type of, you know, self-nurture or or maybe even caring for his mom. I don't know. Like, I don't know, sort of changing the you know, somehow taking that bird's eye perspective about what she's doing. And, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure, actually. I just jumped in. But to develop the Saturn, to develop his own self-worth.
Yeah,
of the resources. This is Jillian. Okay, so I'm raising my hand next to you. But if he's in, you know, the past, isn't he Saturn, though? He's the self-node ruler.
Yeah,
he's Saturn.
Yeah,
he's Saturn. So he could, I mean, maybe he...
So good. So it's like another layer. So he, in a bunch of lives, does show up as that Saturn in Cancer in the second, but he is opposite the people he comes from, because they're the South Node. So he might know who he is, but not validate himself or believe in himself.
Yeah.
Now, he might.
Or Tom, this is Starshine. Could it be also that the frustration that he's feeling about that is because his identity is Cancer in Saturn in the second, that he is taking care of his mom, maybe like if he had siblings, more than his other siblings would be.
Maybe, yeah, exactly.
And he does it in a very, like, disciplined, controlling way, which would take a lot of energy out of him. And it's also tied to his self-worth, you know, to his value as a human being. So it's like he knows that on principle he needs to take care of his mom because that's who he is, but it's wearing him out also.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. Great. And so kind of same question, same topic, but kind of shifting gears a little, he's got Moon in Capricorn in the 8th and Venus in Capricorn in the 7th. So I'll just tell you, he might be inclined to listen to other people who are authoritative or forceful. He might be inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt, just in general. So, you know, I actually worked with a client who had an 8th house issue in a similar way. This guy, he's probably almost 50, and there was a similar kind of issue. And when this came up, I was talking to, like, a 10-year-old. Like, he was, like, exasperated, but it was like the kid trying to get love. So it's like, so the other thing, just for your reference, you know, is that sometimes money is a substitute for love,
mm-hmm.
and so for him feeling controlled through money, he probably feels controlled through love. What does he have to do to get love? It's kind of not in the chart, but it's kind of one perspective that might come in with somebody like this. And that Saturn the second, you know, yourself, loving yourself, taking care of yourself, as a couple of you have mentioned, that like, you know, my word would be investing in yourself, you know, that kind of idea, and coming out of that. And it just was food for thought, but yeah.
So just I just wondered how you might bring, would you bring in the, with the Saturn, the Neptune, Chiron, and Libra in the 5th square, the self-node ruler, and how you do that to answer the question?
Yes, perfect. It's another, because it's from Libra, it's another indication of perhaps listening to others.
Mm-hmm.
So, and perhaps being controlled. You know, Chiron we look at as, you know, wounding, healing, something in there. And Neptune, you know, like I said, this thing about, you know, something in Pisces can be very grandiose. You know, Neptune can be very grandiose as well. Neptune can be slippery, can also be controlling,
deceiving,
deceitful. And so this is in Libra, and it's in the 5th house. So people, it's safe to say people with big egos, people who are self-interested, people who are maybe narcissistic, maybe full of themselves, but definitely have a big sense of self, the 5th house idea, and they're squaring him in the house of self-worth. So yes, in a bunch of lives, he is pressured by slippery people who have big egos.
Maybe with a Chiron, maybe they feign illness.
Exactly.
To control the people who they want them to take it.
Perfectly.
Know, take care
That's
of
where
it.
I wanted to go next. Is like that, right?
Okay.
Yeah, they can feign illness. They can, yeah, exactly. Feigning hypochondria.
Right.
Or really being hypochondriacal.
Right.
How do you say that word?
Right.
Hypochondriacal. Yeah, so yeah, exactly. Squaring the South and Jewish. In a bunch of lives, he is, you know, essentially trying to live in the second house, often stuck in the eighth house, and pressured in this way by these slippery, perhaps manipulative things in the fifth house. In relationships.
What's the positive? What's the cure?
The cure is to decide what is most important to you, and the Saturn and the South Wind ruler in the second. What's most important to you? What do you want your life to look like? Essentially, really focusing on this person's value system. And there could be, I mean, it's highly likely with this setup, until the person turns a corner, may or may not before they talk to you have turned a corner. But the default can be feeling powerless because of the control of others. So yeah, you know, so I would kind of harp on, you know, just making your own decisions. And I would also say, you know, look at your mom as a divine being who's just really being a jerk. Like, you know, and kind of like detach from her is what I would suggest. Because that second house, when we do that, it's not, you know, I say the first house is a house of independence, self-interested action, but the second house is about self-reliance, and very often we do have to unplug from others to do that well. So I would tell him he has to unplug energetically and emotionally, you know, and I might give him some affirmations or something, but he's got to, like, work on what he finds most important and catch himself in that habit of giving in to what other people think are important. And here at Cancer, acknowledging his feelings. What does he feel about this? You know, and really, because he has to get into that. The moon on the south end says there's a lot of feeling, but moon in Capricorn says it's happening in a Capricorn way, which isn't soft. So I'd probably tell this guy, what do you think, I'll ask him, what do you find nurturing? What do you think it means to take care of yourself? And he may give me good answers or kind of, you know, answers that miss the mark, but I would not stop till I have that good answers. I'd say, well, what do you, you know, when you get upset, what do you need to do for yourself to bring yourself back into balance, you know? Mm-hmm. And kind of like, how do you approach food? Do you sleep enough? When it comes down to something that should be done versus what you need to do in that moment, like, I should, you know, shellac the deck, but I need to go on a walk, what do you do? And so I go at it that way. The second house Cancer needs and nurturing and tell him he's supposed to soften up in this life and be stable with his emotions, Saturn, second house, Cancer. I mean, it's just one set of ideas. But, yeah, go ahead, Starshine.
Yes, this is Starshine. Yeah. So I'm also wondering, too, with the North Node that is also in Cancer in the second house, but Saturn is retrograde. So yes. Would there be something also to say about, you know, I have to learn how to put this to people, but maybe you can reinterpret, not retranslate it or something. But I'm just thinking, so there's Saturn retrograde, which means that he needs to look at his identity in another way and turn inwards. Yeah. And so his North Node is also in the second house in Cancer. That it's kind of like revalidating that who he is who he wants to be. And that it's just a matter of kind of reinventing that. So maybe he, you know, turns his attention away from only taking care of his mother and turns it towards, you know, his son's in Scorpio in the sixth house and turns his attention towards maybe doing the same thing but with others in a way that fulfills him.
Right, right.
In some kind of service role that's outside of his family.
Great, because that'll snap him out of that being trapped up by family idea or those patterns and those reflections from it. Yeah, perfect. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, we haven't really even talked about this, but then you have Pluto and Leo in the third that's retrograde. So kind of like, you know, what he has to say is very important, but he has to kind of invent that wheel. So this could be something, I mean, you see Pluto in the third or Pluto in Leo, you might not think shy, but this actually could be somebody who's shy because the Pluto's retrograde. So he might not quite know how to do the Leo thing the right way through his speech and writing. And so, you know, again, it's another thing about this individual idea, you know, strengthening himself by doing what is important to him. And what do you have to say, you know, and really learning to speak up and be honest about what's really happening with himself.
Mm-hmm.
be empowered that way. Yeah. So good. So let me just kind of glance over here. Yeah, and of course, there are other possibilities. We're not covering every single thing, but this is good. This is good. And this is all making sense to you. You're all feeling comfortable with this?
I just want to ask something. I don't know if it's going to be very clear, but with the Saturn square, the Chiron and the Neptune,
yeah.
I just wanted to ask you about, you know, you said it, you know, it's the receiving friction from people that are, but if he was sort of semi-evolved or, you know, semi-had some awareness of his own behavior, how
yeah.
would you just, you know, how would that present, what I'm trying to say is, if that was actually an internal sort of behavior, if that was, could he, do you know what I'm trying to say?
I'm not quite sure, but it's okay.
No. But instead of it being other people, behavior within himself, like that he himself is slippery or he himself acts wounded or...
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm...
Yeah, exactly, because you can have a pattern of having that inner thing, and then you draw other people to you. I mean, I would say that if he's being manipulated by somebody, let's say who feigns being a hypochondriac, and that's
right,
a great
that's what I was trying to get to, yeah.
I mean, it's very specific, but it's a great illustration of this. I mean, it's one definite possibility here. And so he might be, you know, driven into caring for somebody because this person needs it, you know, or he thinks the person needs it. So, you know, he's addressing somebody else's needs. Is he addressing his own needs?
Yeah.
So it's like the Cancerian thing is happening. So I think I'm kind of getting close to what you're asking about. But
oh,
yes,
yeah, or sort of using his own needs to try to get her to care for him. You know, like that sort of manipulation,
oh, yeah.
sort of triangle.
That's
yeah.
right. Manipulation, even if you're not aware of it. So to get inside, that's very good. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
yeah, if it wasn't like other people who were drawing in, I was just trying to see what his behavior might look like that he, you know, that he might be manifesting to try and get his mum to kind of see him as someone,
yeah.
you know, take care of him or something like that.
Well, you know, the combo of retrograde Pluto and Leo and this stuff in the third, or sorry, in the fifth, you know, the house associated with Leo, there might be a real kind of, he might unintentionally project or embody a wounded ego. I mean,
yeah.
he might, you know, I really don't have the right to be heard or something. And also that stuff in the sixth door is pointing out. So
right.
you know, he might have that, to, you know, so he could actually control somebody
yeah.
through, you know, through that manipulation, even if he's not aware of it. And, I mean, I think that, you know, you're sitting with somebody, you'd know. You'd figure it out really quick, like, wait a minute, you do that. you
right.
know, like,
yeah,
you'd
right.
see it. Yeah, but always know that it is internal, like Mary's saying. It is always internal, and it becomes, it becomes manifested externally. Yeah.
Hey, this is Jillian. I had just another question about, like, the likelihood. Like, we our south nodes come easily, and then anything,
mm-hmm.
any planet, fairy body, conjunct that south node, in this case, moon,
mm-hmm.
would come easily, and that, or north nodes do not come easily, and any planets conjunct those north nodes do not come easily.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just wondering about, and I know you have to take the entire chart into consideration, and normally you'd have the client in front of you giving the feedback, and it'd be easier to figure out. But, like, you know, what are the chances, what's the likelihood that he is not, because the Saturn's on his north node in Cancer, what are the chances, given this chart, I want to know your educated opinion, you know, what if he refuses to take care of family? What if, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
What, like, there's that possibility, too, right? Like how often mm-hmm. do you see a person not embodying their planets on their north node? You know, I mean, I know it's just a difficult question.
Well,
you can't pinpoint
it. No, it's a good one. I mean, I can tell you about kind of a range of likelihoods, you know, like things that can happen. And sometimes with this kind of setup, the person would be, oh, I am done with my family. Basically, like, double with everybody, but, like, fuck that shit. Like, you know, like, I'm done with the control and the manipulation. And the person could have been like, you know, I left home late, but when I left home at 26, I just decided to take care of myself. So it's entirely possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I have worked with people like that. Like, you know, I do all my homework, like I'm teaching you guys, and then I go into the reading, and I have this thing in my head. It could be this worst-case scenario. but I don't know. And then I let the person talk, and sometimes they hear with this something like, oh, yeah, I just made that decision, I just did it. So does that answer your question? Like, it's possible. It's mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost 50-50 unless we go into old patterns, and then it goes down from there, the possibility.
Right.
But it's entirely possible that this person would have no contact with family. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I just said, the mom won't die, she's controlling my money.
Mm-hmm.
So that question kind of implies he has contact with her in some way.
Right.
But, you know, maybe he doesn't. Maybe this is all through letters through an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's like, I have nothing to do with her. I'm just, God bless everybody, I'm just waiting for her to finish her time on the planet, and then I can kind of get on with my financial life independently.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, I would still say that she has to be independent no matter how long she lives. She might hang on to be 200 because you need to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
Yeah.
Does that answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to everybody else?
This is Mari. I've got a question. Are there indications that he's supporting his mother financially or that he's just, like, not doing that?
It's possible. It's possible because if he gives in to that tie, like being tied in with that moon on the south node, you know, he might, sometimes with moon on the south node, people are, obviously they're very lunar, right? But it's possible to perceive that they need their family. So it's possible with this, like, Libra fifth house stuff, these particular planets, you know, squaring Saturn and, you know, and the south node where it is, it's entirely possible that he might be taking care of his mother. He might be trying to get that love that he may have perceived he never got. Even if she was a kind person, sometimes we need things our parents don't automatically give us.
Well, yeah, and this is brilliant. I just noticed, I mean, and you have to look at all the entire chart, too. And then, of course, all these personal planets in his house of service.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jupiter and Virgo in the house of common family,
exactly.
So, which indicates that someone of a giving, you know, giving nature.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Exactly. So he, you know, he might, I mean, it's also very common for people with this kind of thing to resent the family but be fully committed. That is a possibility with this. You know, like resent them for being, resent the self for being committed, but to say family's more important than anything, even if they're killing. Like, that's a possibility with that moon and Capricorn on the south node. Yeah, that Jupiter in the fourth. Yeah, it can. And also, you know, I said the Uranus on the ascendant, it's retrograde in the 12th. You may not have any idea how to do that. That may be a blind spot. So sure, he could be taking care of them. He could be, you know, he could feel like it's his duty, which is a Capricorn word. He could really feel that it's his duty to do that no matter what till the end. And that could be indicative of a moon on a south node, the kind of karmic ties and family's more important than anything.
Mm.
It's possible. Yeah. This is good. All these questions about is it also possible that, and the answer is yes. Like a lot of things, it doesn't mean everything's possible, but within these certain symbols, you know, within the parameters of these certain symbols, many things are possible. Yeah, yeah. Like I say, some people with the signature would leave family, some people would never leave, some people would try to figure out how to leave and, you know, feel pulled back in. And because the moon on the south node is also about clan. It's not even just about mom or parents. It can be about the identity of our people. You know, like the whole, like, Scottish clan idea, or the Jewish people, or, you know, kind of like that kind of thing, or the Greek national identity. That's all possible. Yeah, it's all possible. Yeah, so good. Good, good, good. So, good. If there aren't any other questions, we'll go on to the next one. I think the variety is good. You know, a couple questions in depth for a few minutes, and then a variety, you know, and then a new chart. So the next one is woman, born 1952 in Buenos Aires. And so let me just look here. I have 8,000 cookies here today. Yeah, so this woman says, I'm not in a relationship right now. I broke up with, you know, with my last boyfriend about a year and a half ago, and I feel good about that. But what I want to understand is my previous pattern of always being in a relationship. And at, what, at first glance for you guys, it's going to be very obvious where I'm going, but there's a layer here that I want to point out. So she says, I want to understand why prior to a year and a half ago, I was always in a relationship, and I didn't feel like I could be alone. Yeah. It's okay to go to the obvious place.
Even if it's not the Pluto or...
That's
the,
right.
Okay.
I mean, it's the South Node ruler.
Yeah. So, yeah, the South Node ruler.
Hint.
Right, I know. So, yeah, I mean, the South Node ruler in, you know, in Cancer, in the House of Intimacy,
uh-huh.
partnership conjunct Uranus with Venus, conjunct the relationship planet.
Right.
But then conjunct Uranus, it's, you know, that's, you know... but then the... And I just can't help but look to the ruler of the 8th house, which is the moon, so close to the angle in Pisces on, on the IC. So that is a deep layer of the story, because that's the closest thing she has to an angle, and that's
going
to be really important in her chart.
Mm-hmm. So if she shows up as the South Node ruler, and that means Sun, so she's a, she shows up as Venus and Uranus. So obviously Venus is wanting to be in a relationship often.
Mm-hmm.
And Uranus is sometimes not, or at least wanting freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do Uranus in a boring way, too. We can not individually. That's a possibility.
Then it's used up by the square to Neptune in Libra in the 11th, which is, you know, Neptune in Libra can be about over-idealizing relationships, being deceived in relationships.
Which is that moon and Pisces on the IC can also be same keywords.
Right.
A little
the,
bit.
The
overlap.
Right,
exactly.
Right. So, you know, maybe she had been, maybe she's so overly, you know, emotional, invested in a relationship that she got to a point where she was, you know, Cancerians also giving nature, very, you know, ideal, Sun, Venus, and Cancer, ideal of a woman, a wife, and very, very moony person. So maybe she got, she got burned in this last relationship, and so she's employing that Uranus more. That's a crude, a crude description.
Well, yeah, Uranus can wake up in us at different times in life. And anybody else before I kind of, before I give you a hint about something else to tie in? Anybody else?
Well, her Pluto's in the ninth house. Along with her South Node.
Right.
And so it's important, and she comes from people that searching is important. The search is everything.
Yeah.
And she needs to work on learning and opening her mind and applying it to the search.
Yeah, exactly. So she might, you know, the other thing to look at with Pluto in the ninth in this way and also with the South Node here is that she might have felt powerless to search.
Yeah.
Possibly, or felt overpowered during the search, which can be overreaching and then having to contract after risking too much. So that's a good avenue for that. It's a good avenue for that. And the last thing that I'd really bring in is the Chiron in the first. It's opposing the Uranus, but it's brought in to oppose the South Node ruler Sun too. And that's kind of, that's going to be another important detail. So anybody want to jump on that, or I can offer some ideas? So I'll give you some ideas, because it's not entirely obvious how this can function, but an opposition to the South Node ruler can be something that blocks us, or that we are confronted and challenged by. We don't quite know how to deal with it. It's not the square, the pressure idea, but it can be like you know, deer caught in the headlights. That's what it can be like, because we're not. It's the opposite. And we're talking about Chiron, which can be wounded things or people's sensitivities. So other people's, what we're getting at is in her search for intimacy, this Cancer 8th house deal with Venus and Uranus in it, she may actually be a deer in the headlights when she tries to separate from people where it doesn't work for her because they're wounding. She can actually stay in a relationship in the 8th house to not hurt somebody else. They're Chiron wounding. That's another detail here. Does that make sense to you guys?
I guess I don't understand that. Could you say that again, please?
Yes, definitely. So I'm this. Let's say that I'm this person, and I'm making this decision. This relationship that I'm in with this person doesn't serve me. It doesn't work for me. And I'm very sensitive, right? Because I live in the 8th house in Cancer, and I'm very sensitive. But this other person has perhaps a wounded ego, and I'm afraid to break his heart. His wounding can keep me stuck in place. Like, I can keep myself stuck here because I don't want to hurt him.
I see. Yes.
Yeah. Because if I hurt him, his pain hurts me back. Not like he's trying to do it, but I'm hypersensitive. So you have that dynamic. And then separately, so kind of linking that where it is, on that personality level, forget the karma. On a personality level, this woman has Chiron in the first, so she can't help but be Chiron, because things in the first house we kind of wear on our sleeve, and we just are those planets. And so she also shows up with that sensitivity, and she'll find other people who have it. It's kind of like going to be a big feedback loop of emotional sensitivity, and you know, until we figure out how to be grounded and mature about it, we can make a lot of decisions that aren't great based in trying not to hurt other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. Good. I'd like to kind of stay on this chart and do a second question. If you guys don't have any questions on that, I'd like to move on a bit. I mean, obviously, we're not looking at everything in the chart or every aspect, but I'm glad you guys are bringing those in. Let me just look at this other thing here.
Can you talk about a little bit? Like, I was looking at the Sun conjunct Uranus,
mm-hmm.
and how I'm trying to picture this woman, trying to see,
mm-hmm.
and how we'll, and then imposing Chiron. You know, that might manifest as someone who basically self nurture or very nurturing woman, but maybe finding people who are wounded in a different way, which is very uniquely wounded perhaps, and maybe has a soft spot in her heart for people who have very unique wounds.
That's
honest in there.
Right.
But then, with she has a North Node in Aquarius, which I guess she wouldn't use Uranus if the ruler of Aquarius. So okay. So I guess I don't have a question. So.
But you're free to use the North and Ruler. We just finished C4 program here in San Diego, and just for everybody else on the call, and I really read the charts in two ways, because Steve uses the Modern Rulers, and I just couldn't get it given the person sitting in the room. You know, I just could. There was one where it was Aquarius, and he used Uranus. And I just didn't see this person as a 12th house person, where Uranus was, but Saturn was in the first, and I saw this person as a Saturn figure. But anyway, I want you to play with it. So ask the question as though I do use Modern Rulers. I want you to ask the question.
Right.
And I'll answer it as though I use them.
Well, just if you could kind of paint maybe where, how this person can develop into a North Node, given our Sun is conjunct Uranus.
Yeah, exactly. So great, if the Sun is conjunct the North Node ruler, let's just, it's a good question. So so it's in the 8th house. So something in the 8th house has to happen in a Cancerian way, but better than before, healthier than before. Right, so I'd say the South Node ruler is the Sun, carries a lot of patterns and habits, but she's got to do Uranus in a new way and the Sun, Venus in a new way. So I would say that she has to look at, she has to learn what codependence is. She would have to learn that, she has to decide that give and take is important, and that she shouldn't be sacrificing too much But she also shouldn't be shut down. Like, the, one of the Urana things can be closing herself off because of her upset, or we feel slowed down or something, because Urana can be very, very fast and forward-looking. So she would need to do an emotional thing in a new way. And so I would say, make sure there aren't any codependent patterns. Make sure that you, you know, there isn't a flow of energy one way or the other that's in balance. Make sure that each person in relationship is responsible for his or her own stuff. So I can comfort you in the eighth house, but I don't own it. I don't carry it for you. That kind of thing is where I'd go. And the other thing is, Uranus can be very reactive if we don't feel free. So look at, is she never reactive? And it's good to ask. You know, do you feel like you're reactive? Do you feel like you refuse to react? And whatever the thing is, helping her retool it to find a middle ground so that it works better. When, you know, when you find stuff that has to be corrected in the seventh house or eighth house, and or eighth house, and including Venus and Pluto stuff in relationships, it's really often a good idea to tell people that they're supposed to be saying no more often than they say yes if they have that problem. Like, if they say yes all the time because they're not sure how to say no, learn to moderate that. And the other, and if they're refusing, then they should learn how to say yes sometimes and open up. So that's kind of the, we look at the course correction that way. Mm-hmm. Yes, you would have to do that. If, you know, if we look at that as a self-made ruler, she has to do that well, you know, to really get her. That will help her. And in this case, honoring emotion, feeling what she's feeling, being open and honest about it, and then also not, you know, not being in this kind of weird minefield of other people's drama, but also not in a minefield of her own drama. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You. You're welcome. That make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would she tend to attract, like, alcoholics or drug addicts? Or?
Oh, totally, her? Yeah. Yeah, she could attract addicts. She could attract, I mean, she could attract people who lie all the time, who you know, separately. She could attract people who are abusive or who have been abused, you know, given the eighth house stuff and the Chiron in the first opposing it. Yeah, she could attract people who are up in their heads, like very Uranian intellectual scientist type people. She might attract critical people, because that's another thing that happens when Uranus goes wrong, is just the kind of detachment from the emotions of others, the reality of the humans around you, if possible, with Uranus. So, yeah, she definitely attracts. Like, when she comes in and says to you, you know what, my last three relationships have been with addicts of some kind or the same kind, then, yeah, you know that there's something in the eighth house, this deep territory that is not being healthy within her, so it can't be healthy with others, so she's drawing a negative thing about it, a negative manifestation of it. In which case, more independence and saying no and making sure people are responsible for themselves is the key. Because there's nothing wrong with, you know, somebody who has an addiction who's working with it. There's nothing wrong with that, because it's possible to have somebody have an issue but not have it destroy everything in creation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I play games on my phone. I'm almost addicted to this stupid game. And I'm like, sometimes I'm sitting there playing it for 2 hours at a time so I don't have to think and write. And I'm like, I wonder how this is affecting my relationship. But then I snap out of it. You know what I mean? It's like I'm aware of it. So, you know, it's like staying aware of it can create, you know, keep things from being real problems. And so that I'm responsible for it at the point.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so that's that. Yeah, she could totally draw people like that from her. Oh, and she can also refuse lots of different people seeing something wrong in most of them. You know, like I had a moment a few weeks ago where I was like talking to somebody, and I call it a Seinfeld moment, because if you remember that sitcom from a couple decades ago, the characters would be dating on a date with somebody and notice one little behavior pattern that they blew out of all proportion. You know, like, you know, she chewed this way, it made a noise, you know, that kind of stupid thing. And this can be like that with the Sun conjunct Uranus opposing Chiron in the first. You can see what's wrong everywhere else. You know, you can have that too. Yeah. Another extreme. Another kind of extreme. Yeah. Good. Any other questions on this nice lady before we move on?
Just a quick one, sorry, Tom. Just last week you were talking about when Pluto is conjunct the south node.
Yeah.
Can you just briefly address that in terms of, I know it's the ninth house and it's, you know, it's not in the relationship house, but would that affect her, you know, the way that she looks at relationships, or not really?
I would say yes, because the issue of Pluto for her is giant.
Right.
And it's not that she has a Pluto, but she was born into a family where something Plutonian was happening.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes when Pluto happens, you know, when Pluto happens, we can feel overwhelmed. Mm. We can have a general emotional thing that tends us towards depression. You know, so it could, as a general thing, you know, a general thing.
Right.
And also, the idea of Pluto in the ninth does need freedom and a bit, you know, room to move. That's and not to be tied down. But like I said, if you're disempowered in the ninth house, you might not choose freedom.
Right.
Yeah, if you've been really hurt, you might risk a lot.
Yep.
Because this would be somebody who maybe needs to travel. Who needs to, you know, visit two libraries in every state, you know, and, like, learn things and, like, you know, and then write a one-woman show about that trip,
mm-hmm.
and then perform it. You know, like yeah, she needs to be on the go and doing, but if she's feeling really down and depressed because of whatever Plutonian difficulty has happened in this life or otherwise, she may be down and depressed, and, you know, honestly, Pluto in the ninth can be pessimism as well as optimism.
Mm.
Yeah, jaded. I've seen it all, you know, and these are people you can't really talk to because their beliefs kind of really take over in a strong, strong way. It's mm-hmm. possible, yeah. But you know, you might even go through the thought process looking at a chart like this, and the person comes in and she is the most sunny, shiny, happiest person you have ever come across. Mm-hmm. Like, that's possible too. Yeah, yeah. But I think this is good. I think it's good to run through different possibilities. Is it possible this extreme is there? Is it possible that it's the opposite? Yeah, like, play with that, because that's how you learn how the themes interact within the chart, and that prepares you for anything that she'll ask you. Because she might say to you, well, I was really depressed until I was 25, and then I said, I got to get out of my parents' house. I left, and suddenly the world was different, and I felt great, and I, you know, blah, 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 and I had some, you know, I had two brief marriages that didn't work well, but then I got it, don't marry addicts. You know what I mean? Like, she could tell you that story. All this stuff happened 20 years ago and she feels great about life. But you understand the landscape that's unfolding within her because of all this stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So good. Good. And then the last one, the man, 1961, in Toronto. Let me just look at his chart and see what interesting story we can come up with. Again, most people ask about career and relationship. But let's see. Okay.
Excuse me, which chart are you looking at? This is Mario.
Yeah, 1961. Man, 1961, born in Toronto. It's the one with the Leo rising and Pluto in the first, in Virgo. Yeah. So this guy comes to you and says, I have all these big dreams, but I can't get organized. Can you help me figure out why I'm so scatterbrained and what I need to do to get organized so I can actually do what I want to do? Yeah, and take your time. Take a minute.
Well, this is Starshine.
Yeah.
It seems like part of it may be the Neptune
in the third house, that his mind is just very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever he has to focus on something in a mental way, he just becomes very fluid.
Right.
And then also that's, let me get here. That square his son in the 12th house.
Right.
Which would indicate that, well, the sun in the 12th house means that he would kind of be operating in a Neptunian kind of realm there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's also squared, which means that it's pressuring that Neptune to do it in a different way.
Yes, perfect. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His personality, who he is pressuring his mind to do that in a different way. So,
mm-hmm. so what would be a strategy you might look at?
Well, I mean, the kind of structuring forces that he has in his chart are Capricorn. It's Saturn in Capricorn in the sixth house.
Mm-hmm.
That might be one strategy, but that's retrograde, so he's going to have to figure out his own way of doing that. Let's see if there's... And then he's got... let's see, the North Node is actually in the 12th. No, it's in the first house.
Right.
So, well, and then there's Virgo, so he's got Saturn in the sixth, and then he's got Virgo in the first. So he's got the North Node and Pluto there. So there's something about service and making choices about how to serve. So maybe he could end up focusing his mind in a way on how to make choices about how he's going to serve.
Right, exactly, right. His assumption is to not make choices, if that's happening in the seventh, very often we yield to others or we look to what others may expect of us.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jillian. I was also looking at the ruler Saturn in mm-hmm. Capricorn in the sixth. It's a mm-hmm. great place to get organized and find out the way to do it. And I think that's a great way to do it. I mean, he's got that is where, you know, conjunct Jupiter, of course, mm-hmm. Aquarius, great idea maker, but squared by his sun in Aries in moon in Aries in the ninth. And so, and then it actually in a T-square with Mercury mm-hmm. in Cancer in the 12th. And so I think it was, you know, a way for him, if he's got all these ideas, what I would suggest is, you know, feel into them and then write them all down. Do stream of consciousness
Great.
Writing.
Great.
And just, you know, with that Mercury in Cancer, just, you know, get them all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then check with his feelings and just pull from that. I think writing out his ideas in a kind of stream of consciousness fashion would help him gain clarity about what's most important.
Right, and it would bring in that 12th house in a positive way, and that Neptune with it. So I kind of wondered where we'd go with this, but given that, and that is good, given that, knowing that Saturn is a South Node ruler, he actually feels like a sixth house person in Capricorn. Like, he will show up that way. Conjunct Jupiter, big ideas, right? Big ideas, Jupiter, Aquarius. But they're both retrograde. So it's kind of like, now this is where you'd say, you would know in your head, well, he has a bunch of lives as a sixth house person, but he has to redo it. He has to figure out a new way to do it. So you might ask him how he organizes his day, and there'll be some glaring baloney things in there. You might ask him, like, you know, he might say, I lose track of time. You might say, like, well, what's your calendar like? And he's got, like, you know, one of those little things on the desk that you tear off a day at a time, but he hasn't torn it off in a month. You know, it's like tools are really important with all of this. But yes, big ideas, the sixth house is good for that, unless you have it retrograde. Mm-hmm. And the other thing
Well, I was going to say, Tom, with his Pluto in
Virgo in the first, that
yes.
seems like would indicate that he's tried to make choices about service before and been disempowered about it. So
exactly.
although he may be a big idea maker, but
exactly.
but he's worried that he will disempower himself if he actually chooses one of those ideas.
Precisely. That's where I wanted to kind of get this, yeah, perfect, because the emotional impact of Pluto is so deep, and it's conjunct the North Node, so in many lives it may have felt out of reach, and then while the North Node itself is in Leo, the Pluto's in Virgo, so Virgo, first house, has felt out of reach, being empowered through making those choices. So where you guys went is perfect, and then add in your awareness of the emotional depth that this guy would rather be lost in what other people expect of him. Not that he likes it, because he's telling you he wants to change it. But it's easier to do that than to risk, you know, being told that you're egotistical or that you're self-centered, which are kind of things people can share with us about us when we have Pluto in the first, if we do it in a loud way. It's not really true most of the time. But it can look like that if somebody really tries to make waves like that. Yeah, and the other thing is, South Node ruler Saturn, you know, retro in Capricorn in the sixth, is quincunx the Uranus. So he's actually been surprised by sudden things, and he may have some emotion, just not like you're going to know exactly what to do with it, perhaps, but like just understand he might also have some trauma and not be able to focus in that sixth house like any other sixth house person would. Because his, like, you know, he could have, you know, his nervous system affected by some sudden Uranian trauma in the past.
This
yeah.
is Jillian. Isn't this a yellow kit we've got? On one end, it's everything pointing to Saturn and Jupiter on the 6th. And on one end, we've got Uranus, 25 Leo, Venus.
Yeah.
And then Mercury. Is that a yellow?
Well, let's see. We've got 25, 28,
yeah,
and we've got 25.
So Yod with,
yeah.
with another, with his almost
this,
acting like a kite or something.
Yeah, exactly, a weird kite. With this one, the way it shows up here, it's 10 minutes outside the orb of a Yod that this program would use. But yes, you might tie that in there, in which case the South Node ruler is the finger of a Yod,
yeah.
So pressure. And if you guys, just how I think about a Yod, which is like, you have two bodies that are sextile, and as Jillian pointed out, the Venus and the Uranus are sextile over on the left-hand side of the chart. And then each of them would make a quincunx to one body, and that's called the finger of this. And it's called the finger of God, is one of the names for it, because it can feel like a special purpose, a special destiny. It can feel like you can't get away from this thing. And if you can't get away from something in Capricorn in the sixth, conjunct Jupiter and its retrograde, figure you've overdone it in the wrong way. If you can't get away from it, you have to do it, but you might be spinning your wheels in, like, over-analytical mode, too, in the sixth house. So there's a possibility that, you know, the retrograde is to come out of feeling all the pressure. It's like, so helping that person step back from all the pressure. What it can look like when the South Node ruler is the finger of a Yod like that, it can look like everybody expects this thing, and the entire universe is waiting for you to do it. That's what it can feel like. And so to figure out ways to kind of undo that idea and to be easy on yourself and to not be so driven, then you can kind of step back into kind of normal behavior, you know, a little more normal behavior with it. Yeah, good point. I wonder, when I first saw the chart, I thought, is that? And I didn't even look at the degrees. But yeah, it's 10, usually 3 degrees would be the orb on a quincunx, and this is 3 degrees in 10 minutes. But you know what? You know, it's quincunx to Jupiter, you know, within that 3-degree orb. So yeah, tie it together.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. Good. Yeah, well, the other thing is, personality-wise, you might look at Mars and Virgo in the second and say, you know, that should be pretty organized. But again, the emotional undercurrent that can come with Pluto and Virgo on the first house North Node can keep someone, you know, from really doing it. Or he might be really organized on one level, but not in a way that allows him to truly move forward and into you know, something bold, you know, something plutonian, something transformative, and being an agent of some kind of service of change, something like that.
Can you pull in that Chiron? This is Jillian. Chiron opposing Pluto?
So Chiron's conjunct the south node, though it's out of sign, and opposing the Pluto. So he's coming from a place saturated with Chiron. It's safe to assume the worst. You know what I mean? Not because, you know, well, just because if it's on the south node, we're probably remembering more of the negative things or the not helpful things. So the Chiron, wounding, suffering, pain of other people, is in the family system, a pain about relationships. So these people could have no boundaries or terrible boundaries or just not even know how to connect with each other, kind of flipping through the fingers energy of Pisces in the seventh. Then that opposing Pluto, in order to do the Pluto, you would have to correct a lot of Chiron behaviors and assumptions. So he might be somebody who doesn't want to give anything to anybody because he might feel like, you know, he's been around energy vampires, you know, Chiron. He might feel like he has to say no all the time and be closed. That's a possibility. He might also feel that he gives way too much and he can't stop. That's also a possibility. But opposing the Pluto, he would have to course correct to be able to say yes when it works, no when it doesn't work, and not take responsibility for other people's problems, and not absorb their stuff. So I have Chiron in the seventh, and people have asked me how I do the intense work I do with others, because, you know, people often bring their difficult topics to me, but I'm very clear, I don't absorb anything. I just help if I can. And so for him to be of effective service, you know, as an individual, you know, Virgo first house Pluto, he would have to have some real good boundaries and not get wrapped up with people. But he might tend to be a Chiron getting wrapped up with other people's figure if he doesn't, you know, if he perpetuates family patterns, you know. In a rare case, you'll find that this signature has the family full of healers or counselors or something wonderful, but it's really rare. It's really rare because we're all trying to work out our hard stuff with each other, and with Chiron in the South, you know, lots of times it is suffering and dependence and interdependence and trying to figure that out. Yeah. Does that answer?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, so I feel like, we're almost at time, actually. Oh, wow, okay. Well, any other questions on this one? Any ideas or questions, you know, given whatever or something just popping in your head, maybe? For the next, you know, the last 4 minutes?
This is Starshine.
Yeah.
So, given what you just said about Pisces, south node of Chiron in the seventh.
Yeah.
So, if I have this right, his south node ruler is in Aquarius in the sixth. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So then wouldn't it be pretty easy for him to be somewhat detached from his family? Like, he sees himself as having the ability to detach?
Yeah, he could. He could, yeah.
Okay.
He could, you know, the south node becomes a lens through which we see the world. He could actually see the world in terms of issues he doesn't really want to deal with. And yes.
Okay. So he could be detached, and in some ways that doesn't necessarily mean he's not dealing with the wounding or the sensitivity. It just means that maybe he's even detached from dealing with it. So he may still be dealing with the undercurrent of it, but not consciously.
Right, like it can be kind of a wide range of, is this being resolved or is this just what it is? And so he could be not dealing with it, he could be dealing with it. This could be a person who's in therapy because God bless everybody, that kind of like, I just want to detach from these problems and get on with my life. And it could be he could be very sane and grounded and compassionate and clear. And he could also be a caretaker and codependent. He could be an addict himself, you know. He could, and it could go the other way too. It could be awful. He could be a hypochondriac with his stuff in the sixth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even emotional problems becoming physical health issues. Like, that's also possible too.
Well, it seems like also he would be kind of shying away from the issue of relationships and be more focused on, say, like acquiring a skill you know, whereas his family life is all caught up in their relationships with each other, and he's like, I don't care about the relationships, you know, we just need to learn how to do things.
Right, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm the only one doing this.
Right, I need to learn how to take responsibility for myself. I get that you guys can't do that, so I'm just kind of over here doing my thing, and I'll send you a Christmas card.
Okay.
Yeah. So good. So yeah, so this is our last class, and you know, I hope that you've gotten some good tools and perspectives on unfolding the story, and I think I'm going to offer a kind of practicum which will be a form of the last 3 weeks, you know, where you have those basic things, but then we approach these charts from different angles, giving people a chance to tell the story and learn how to streamline it and be really efficient, and also approach it. That's kind of Jillian's idea. She's kind of really cheerleading doing this practicum thing, and I love the idea. And then also doing this kind of thing where, you know, we might work on one chart for an hour and a half or 2 hour class, and ask different questions and come at it from different angles and kind of really get inside that chart so you have, you can come at, you know, relationship thing, you know, between the Pluto in the first, the Chiron in the seventh, the Faustian Duel in the sixth, like all these things are valid approaches. So if you guys just stay tuned, whether it be Facebook or my email list or my calendar, and probably within a couple months, I'm going to start a kind of practicum thing, like 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off, and then kind of doing like that. So if you want more practice, you know, keep in touch and stay tuned.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.